Hello, and welcome to Things We're Too Lazy to Blog About. I am Amanda Lauren, and I am with my co-host, Allie Levine.
Hey, hey, hey.
And we are with someone who has such an interesting story.
Ooh.
We are with Jess, I'm going to screw up her last name, Sukan.
You did it perfectly.
Yay! Hi, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. You're welcome.
Jess is you've been on almost 30 and you were on Lady Gang.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, how did goals. You get on Lady Gang? I'm very curious. We've had on Kelty and I've interviewed
Becca. Yeah, I love Kelty.
I love her. She's incredible.
She's amazing. If you don't like Kelty, you're pretty much a piece of garbage.
Also, her Instagram's incredibly funny.
Yes. Oh my God. She's amazing. I love her.
Very clever. Yeah. I actually got on that podcast because I work in partnership with my mom, who's a hormone health educator, and she was invited on their podcast a while back, and the content resonated so much with the women, and especially that demographic, that they had her back on a second time.
And wait, I think I know who your mom is.
Her name's Candace Birch.
Okay. Yes.
You remember? Yeah. So my sister and I went out with her the second time to be there with her while she recorded, and she talked about our partnership. And then the ladies asked me what I do, and they were like, "Oh, well, we should have you on next because you know that's something that would also resonate with our audience." And I created this product called the Sexy Sugar Cleanse, and so that's what I talked about. They wanted to know what that was all about. So
I eat so much sugar. That's like my one
place. I know. I'm with you.
I am the worst. Although I feel like
chocolate.
Yeah.
Chocolate.
Well, that's why I found a need for it, because it's in. I mean, I said this on their podcast too, but it's in 80% of all food products.
I believe that.
Yeah. So it's crazy because if you took away anything with added sugar, you would be left with 20% of the store of any grocery store.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
unless
crazy.
It's maybe Erewhon, but
I'm not the biggest fan of Erewhon. I know people love it, but I feel like it's like they just make up a price for everything. Like, I want to charge $800 for this tomato. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you'll buy it because it's Erewhon.
No, it's really weird. It's like, and I'm not a cheap person, and I don't really buy, well, okay, so we are both ambassadors for Milk and Eggs.
Yes.
I love Milk and Eggs.
It's the best.
I get it every week.
They're great.
They're amazing.
When we don't, but I also do Trader Joe's. I feel like Trader Joe's has really good, inexpensive, good store. And I don't like that. I don't really like big grocery stores because I'm from New York. Like, I don't need 500. Just show me five things.
And I
don't need seven
brands.
Just one brand.
Store, I feel like clothing as a stylist. I overpull because I'm overwhelmed. So I'm like, I need this. I'll come home. My husband's like, what grocery store did you go to? Because it looks like you just picked up like everything. And I'm like, I don't know. I just wanted this. And he's like, but are we actually going to eat it? Probably not.
Well, I always say that with my clients, because I do like a mix of Milk and Eggs, and then I'll do like Sun Basket, which is a meal delivery,
right.
And then Trader Joe's for like the one-off things I can't get on Milk and Eggs.
Yeah.
But I always tell my clients, like, it seems like you feel like you might spend more if you do a grocery delivery service or a meal prep service, but you usually don't. Like, I've calculated my finances and I actually save.
Wow.
Because when you go into a grocery store, usually you're either hungry or you're just distracted by all the things. So how many times have you gone in a grocery store for toilet paper and come out with like
$100
worth of stuff?
Or like Target.
Or Target.
Yeah. Target. Oh my gosh. You go in for a light bulb and you come out with like a whole new apartment.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh, this would look great in my home. And then I love this outfit.
My husband and I, we joke about it, and we rode our bikes to Target one day because we're like,
so
we only have baskets. We ended up still putting aside a shopping cart on hold.
Nice.
We
like, that's next level.
And we went back and bought it all.
That's so
amazing.
Like, yeah, I do feel like when it comes to grocery shopping and just wanting to stick to like a healthy plan, it's, or at least, you know, not overspend or get sidetracked, because grocery stores, any store, it's like they put products out to tempt you.
Even Trader Joe's does it.
Oh my God. And they're always coming out with new products.
I know, but I like that. But I feel like it's a very, I don't know, it's weird. I never go crazy, although I did buy a lot of stuff there yesterday.
Yeah, I think with Trader Joe's too, you get to know their products. So after a while, you kind of know exactly what you want. Like, I love to get their frozen cauliflower rice and their zucchini noodles and like their everything but the bagel seasoning. Chili lime salt. That one's so good too.
No, they have like so many. I feel like you could go crazy with unhealthy snacks mm-hmm. because they're sort of like disguised as healthy. It's like
yes,
chocolate covered almonds. It's not the same thing as
I know, bananas. So chocolate covered blueberries, mm-hmm. like one of my favorites.
Yeah. Or the trail mix that has, like, so much candy in it.
Yeah, straight up.
No, wait. Okay, so I do the – it's cranberries, almonds, and cashews. And I do those packets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think of those?
Cranberries, almonds,
it's and just cashews. Cranberries, just almonds. It's just the three things.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. Cranberries, any dried fruit like that is pretty high in sugar. So – if it's a lot of cranberries, I mean, but at the end of the day,
it's a tiny amount. Like, it's a packet.
You're supplementing it with the healthy fats from the nuts, so I wouldn't be worried about it. Yeah, those are fine. I get those for my husband all the time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I love it because I can keep them, like, in my purse, and if I'm out and easy. I start – because I have a tendency to, like, go all day without eating.
Yes, you're really bad.
Yeah. So you got to have those easy go-tos. So, like, I like those packs, but what I like to do – and I'm not a meal prepper. Like, I really am not. But I will prep these little trail mixes in individual bags where it's macadamia nuts, cacao nibs, and Dang's coconut flakes.
Ooh.
So it's kind of like sweetie, salty, crunchy.
I like that.
And so that kind of like hits on all of the things that people
sounds
crave.
Good. Yeah.
But it's really healthy, high in fat.
Right.
So, and so you're not getting any too. Sugar. Okay. So it fills you more, but you still get that sort of like satisfaction. And then from the cacao nibs, you get the magnesium and you get the chocolate. So it kind of helps curb cravings. So I love that. And then it's like, if you go to a movie or something like that, you can bring them in. But I'm the crazy snack lady. I'm traveling tomorrow through the weekend for a wedding. And it's like, I go through security with like a whole bag of tricks.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I go through, as you hear my daughter in the background, I go through anywhere with a ton of snacks just because for her. And yeah. I have to remind myself to pack something for me. So now my new thing is like I bring like a protein situation. Like at Costco, they have like the little protein packs. Mm-hmm. That's what I've been living off of because it's like egg, cheese, cracker, peanut butter, or almond butter. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's like everything kind of all in one. It's easy.
It's a mini charcuterie.
Yeah. So great. Take it with me and then I can just eat it while I go and it's like I don't think about it because trying for me being a new mom and being that I am always on the go trying to convert her stuff and then mine it's like I'm the one who always goes to the wayside. I make sure she's good to go and then I'm like screwed.
I work with a lot of like new moms or women who are about to be a mom and it's like you really do start to put yourself on the back burner.
Oh yeah,
and then
100%.
That's where
you are
it's
the
like,
back burner.
Yeah, you are the back burner. But then it kind of bites you in the butt because you aren't able to show up like you want to because you're so drained of energy and you're just like like when have I even taken a shower?
Yep. Yeah. Raising my hand.
I don't even have a kid and I question when I've taken a shower.
Well, yeah, I'm probably going on day two, day three right now myself.
I mean, it happens, you know.
It totally happens. Great. No, yeah, your hair is amazing. Yeah.
Sometimes like the third day is the best day.
Isn't that funny? Mm-hmm. How you just like – so – I love that you work with so many like new moms and everything. So I would just be curious because we do have, and I've noticed on a lot of our reviews lately, we've had a lot more moms listening probably because I am in mommyhood. Mm-hmm. What would be some advice that you would give like some moms to be and new moms of like how to kind of stay on track and to show up for themselves like you were just saying and that sort of thing?
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be similar to the advice I would give any of my clients, but specifically moms. Mm-hmm. It's like I know – that we often think that by putting ourselves first, we're being selfish. And I think as a mom, you probably feel that where it's like, I can't do that. I have to put this little person
mom
that relies on me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that guilt that you feel is even more magnified than just someone like me who has a husband. It's like,
sure.
I still, you know, you still have guilty feelings when maybe you're not home in time to make dinner or, you know, or you're not able to show up for your friends. So it's important for everybody. But I think as a new mom, it's like finding things that simplicity is key,
I think,
for anybody. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was just talking to a client the other day, and it's like, yeah, you shouldn't feel like you have to make some elaborate dinner every single night.
Right.
But if you can, like I said earlier, set yourself up with maybe like a Sun Basket, which is like a really nice organic delivery service that comes during the weeks that you know are just crazy.
Right. Right.
Or even a delivery service where it's already made for you.
Right.
Like on a Sunday night, you're like, okay, this is the night that I go through and go on Milk and Eggs and I pick everything for the week so I'm prepped. But thinking simple, stupid, because like for me, I mean, I get it all the time. Oh, you love to cook. Like I see your recipes and it's like, I really don't.
Yeah.
my advice is to have 5 go-to meals that you know, like you always have those ingredients on hand. You can create variations on the same type of meal. But if you get home, it's going to take you 15 minutes or less to make one of these 5 things that you know right. you're always going to like. So maybe it's like, I love to do, like I'll have the Trader Joe's cauliflower broccoli rice already pre-riced in the fridge. So you can throw those in a pan, add some nutritional yeast, Kite Hill cream cheese, which is like my favorite vegan cream cheese, and make like, put a little almond milk and you make like this faux risotto out of it.
It sounds so good.
It's so good.
Is this on your website?
No, but I'll share it with you. It's actually something my client came up with, and I've been sharing it ever since. And you could do like a mushroom risotto. I'll do shrimp because they're super quick. So you can make them in 3 minutes, throw that in. So just like very easy. That takes 15 minutes, if not less. So easy go-tos, I would say, are one, like you said, snacks on hand all the time with a lot of good fats and protein to keep your blood sugar level.
And I'm breastfeeding exclusively, so I have to keep my milk production up.
Yes. So, yeah.
Which I realize is a real struggle.
Right. So nutrition for you is really important. And I think things that you enjoy that are actually tasty. So, like, I always love to have, like, a bulletproof bar on hand because it kind of is, like, healthier candy bar to me.
Which ones do you like?
Yeah,
I tried a few and I was not a big fan.
Yeah, so I'm like, I would love to know.
Cookie dough?
I don't think I tried the cookie dough.
Cookie dough, I like pumpkin spice. Those are the two I like. I'm not, I mean, the other ones are okay, but those are the ones I really like. And what's good about them, it's so flipping hard to find a healthy bar.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
But I was going to say, you're probably going to make fun of
I know, I was like, so break out one of yours.
It's so tough. I mean, people always ask me and it's like, it's really, really hard. So that's why, I mean.
Because what's on the market, right? Because how you were explaining with the sugars.
Yeah.
Because what's out there.
Most of them have added sugars. You'll turn it around and you're, you know, it'll say all the buzzwords you want to hear.
Sure.
Like it's organic, it's low sugar, it's gluten free, it's soy free. And you turn around, there's like 50 ingredients, you know, and like, and you always know the highest concentration of whatever ingredient is first. So if it's like sugar, honey, oats,
right.
A I do not eat these all of the time. The I one probably bar. Have it like once a week.
Yeah. So
if I'm like in a, because somehow it's like, sometimes I'm just like, I'm hungry. I know I'm going to be in traffic if I'm driving from here. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's easy. But I don't like to have them all the time. I usually don't buy more than like one or two at once. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I could just eat a hunt. Like, I feel like I could eat those all the time.
So the reason why you feel like you can eat them all the time. So she asked me about a one bar.
Because it's like cake. So it's birthday cake flavor.
It's birthday cake flavor. They get you because it's 20 grams of protein on the front and then 1 gram of sugar, which sounds good. But then when you turn it over.
Chemicals.
Like, I'm not going to count all of these ingredients, but it looks like there's maybe 30. There's whey protein. There's milk. So immediately it's going to be more inflammatory for people. There's also some cheap oils in here, like palm kernel oil.
Oh, I know.
Oil.
I'm sure.
There's milk again. There's soy, which is, again, an emulsifier and
hormone
hormone disruptor. Especially this kind of soy because it's not like a fermented tempeh or something.
Oh, yeah.
Confectioner sprinkles have like sugar.
No,
there's
I know.
There's cornstarch, which is inflammatory. I mean, there's again soy listed again. There's dextrin. There's sucralose. So anything ending in OSE is sugar.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. So
no
they hide
what,
it that
just,
way.
That's right. Okay.
Yep. It's like, and so even think about like lactose, that's
right.
milk sugar.
Well, and it's the same thing when it comes to like skincare and they like hide it by putting like the L-A-T-E, but it's like no matter what, that's folate, no matter what, it's a chemical, period.
Yeah.
Even if they've changed
the
way
the
it looks.
Oh, the phthalate,
like
the pH.
Yeah.
Yes. No. I mean, it's spelled so strange.
Yeah, but exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
sometimes
it's like,
with
like,
a Y, sometimes
yeah.
not.
Yeah, and they'll be like, oh, it's this, and it's like, no, but then if you read it, you're like, no, that's chemical, no matter whichever way you spell it.
Yeah, or like.
Okay, here's mine. Mine's Costco.
Okay, so hers is a Costco soft and chewy granola bar.
These are my favorite.
So they get you on this one because it says 100 calories per bar. So people who are caring about calories, like
100 calories is
really
not
like,
enough
for
a snack for me.
Yeah, but for you. But for me, I just like the flavor of it. So that's what gets me. It gets me through like my chocolate fix.
Okay, so this one has rolled oats. Sugar is the second ingredient. So that's always, and then canola oil. So canola oil is an inflammatory oil. So the cheap oils like safflower oil, canola oil, palm oil, peanut oil, those things you want to try to avoid or at least like reduce. Because I'm not about like completely cutting out food groups long term. I think you also have to like enjoy your life.
But thank you for that.
But like if you want to enjoy your life, I'd almost rather you like have like a delicious chocolate bar than this.
Really?
Because there's molasses in here, there's soy, there's corn syrup. So literally like the first 5 ingredients are all sugar, and then there's chocolate chips, again, sugar. So the first 7 ingredients are all sugar. Oh, and then there's sugar again.
Oh my gosh.
And then there's corn syrup.
When they do, like when they write it like that and they put sugar again and sugar again, like why do they do that?
Because it's different types of sugar. So yeah, they're all different, but it all ends up being sugar. So honestly, just in looking, doing like a brief scan, sugar is listed at least 10 times.
Wow.
Yeah. And it contains soy, milk, and wheat. So for anybody,
so I should just go find myself a cookie.
You should eat a chocolate. Yeah, eat like a nice like dark chocolate bar or something.
Yeah. Well, our friend Chanel, who has a podcast, Learned, Heard, and Stirred. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. She does also like wellness and nutrition. She's a big nutrition science guru, and so she's studying in school. And she got me into the Lily's chocolate bars from Whole Foods, and they're filling and they are good. And she's like, you should stick to those.
So, Candace, our mutual friend. Who was in fashion as well. She left 19 years in fashion and started – she had major burnout and candida. And so she was looking for a chocolate bar that didn't have a whole lot of sugar in it. Mm-hmm. And so she couldn't find anything that tasted really good. I think Lily's was the only one that came close. And so she recently in the last year, I think it was just her 1-year anniversary, created Beauty Bar Chocolate, which is so sugar-free. Cool. That has adaptogens in it, which are herbs that help your body adapt to outside stressors. Yeah, we'll send you one. There's pearl collagen in it. It's honestly like that's my nighttime thing. I'll have 3 squares. It like melts in your mouth. It's sweetened with monk fruit, which is a zero glycemic natural sweetener. And like if you want to have like a little healthy fats to go with it, you could like dip it in nut butter.
Ooh.
And that right there is like super satisfying, cuts the sugar cravings, and there's nothing in it that's junk that's going to make you like crave more.
Well, no, I'm like, no, I get it. And it's funny because like this is my one like fake food thing. I hate fake food.
Yeah.
I'd say there are 2 fake food things I do. I do those occasionally, and I do like a Skinny Cow ice cream bar.
I used to be addicted to those.
I love them. They're so good.
And it's, you know what? I feel like though it's not like I don't have it every night. But it's just like, look, like I would love to have like regular ice cream. I don't think it's that great. I feel like this gets rid of my craving. Mm-hmm. And it's like if this is the one thing I have like a few days a week, is it really like that bad?
No, of course not. I think the whole thing with me is that knowledge is power, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like we should learn to be aware of what we're putting in our body because that way we can understand like why we're craving certain things. We can understand why we're feeling maybe low energy. We can understand, you know, why it is that we wake up in the middle of the night and our blood sugar drops and all of a sudden we want to get up and eat something, or we don't sleep well and we get up and it's like, why do I just want to eat like all the fast food in the world? So I think it's just, it's important to know what goes into your food because the food industry is not going to educate you.
No.
Advertising and marketing is not going to educate you. Your body is the best science experiment there is. So it's like you could read all the stats out there that tell you what to do and why, but at the end of the day, like your body is the best science experiment. You know when you feel like shit and you know when you feel good. And so, but at the same time, it's like you have to live your life. And I come from a very disordered background, 12 years of it, of yo-yo dieting and orthorexia. And so I know that it doesn't work to just be all or nothing, to be black and white. Like a Skinny Cow, you're fine. A couple times a week, enjoy it. If you like it, I mean, that's the thing. But the thing I would say is, like, if you're eating it because you're like, oh, it's this many calories and it's, like, a diet food versus, like, just enjoying, like, you know, a cup of some really high-quality ice cream, I would, like, just question if it's because that's what you really
like. Well, it's a few things. One, I love dessert. Like, I came from a family where, like, we ate dessert. When I go out to dinner, I order dessert.
Yeah.
Like, life is short.
Same. Yes.
I'm going to eat dessert, and I don't really give a shit. Like, that's just what it is. My husband has, like, a weight problem. He lost, like, 60 pounds. Wow. He's a big guy.
That's incredible.
And so, like, we just can't – there are certain things, like, we just can't really keep in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is something – he doesn't really like it. So he won't eat it.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like I have another person to consider. So it's a bunch of things.
True.
And
yeah.
The truth is, like, I work out really, although I haven't worked out in a week because I've been sick and I just feel gross.
But you
like,
gotta take time off too.
But I work out like 4 days a week, 5 days a week. And mm-hmm. you know what? Like, I don't wanna just like work out to eat mint chocolate chip. Like,
yeah.
I think like that's like my balance. But mm-hmm. like, mind you, like, there are times when if I want chocolate, like, I'll get chocolate.
Yeah.
Like, if I want a chocolate bar, I'll just get a chocolate bar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always get, like, a good – I like Ritter Sport. It's this, like, German chocolate they sell at Trader Joe's.
I've seen it. I'm not familiar with it, so I couldn't tell you.
It's not, like, super healthy fancy like Lily's, but I think that there's a level of quality that's not, like, a Hershey bar.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and I'm sure coming from a different country, you know that it's better quality just right off the bat.
I know I was going to say.
Yeah.
Like, and I really enjoy it. And I feel like I have it and I'm satisfied instead of, like, if I were to have, like, a Hershey bar, I'd be like, this is not that – like, I don't feel like I get anything out of it.
Yeah, you're not like, oh, that was so worth it. That was delicious. I mean, that's true, too. It's like when you do choose to treat yourself and it's not really even that enjoyable. And then I feel like that's kind of when the guilt starts to creep in because
that wasn't even worth it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's like you might as well choose something that you know is going to be so delicious and you're going to really enjoy every single bite. And it is about, like, if you're going to treat yourself, do it right. Choose a thing that you're really, really drawn to or emotionally connected to and slow down. Like, chew every bite.
Yeah.
Because I think we're just so used to, like, going a mile a minute that then we end up, you know, eating the treat or whatever we were so looking forward to in 2 seconds flat. And then we want something else because it's not enough because we didn't allow our self time to like digest and actually enjoy the experience. So that to me is even more important.
No, I agree. Or I like to just do a very small amount. Like they have mini ones that they sell at like, I live near Largemont Village.
Oh, it's such a cute area.
Have you ever been to Largemont Wine and Cheese?
No. I love wine.
So I am not a sandwich person at all, but they have these amazing sandwiches. And I'll go like once every 2 months.
Yeah.
Like, and be like, I want it. And you can get a half a sandwich. So it's a really like reasonable, like they have like prosciutto and turkey and a good gourmet. Again, like I don't eat a sandwich that often. So when I have it, like I really enjoy my sandwich.
And it's also like the ritual of it. Like you're not going into some like dingy deli. Like it's like a really nice ambiance and it like feels cool to be there. And you're like in the little village. I think that's also part of it too, is like the experience around
it. Oh yeah. And it's also like high quality meat as opposed to like what you get at the supermarket. Like I'm very into, especially like coming from New York where like we don't really have stores in New York City. I mean, I've been here for like 9 years, but like we don't have places like Ralph's. Like,
yeah, that's true. I didn't think about totally it like that. True. Unless you go to the outskirts, right?
No. So, like, I always went to small, like, Gourmet Garage and Citarella. Like, I never got food. Like, we have Food Emporium, which is, I guess, like Gelson's. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's nothing that's, like, these, like, I don't like a big super, like, I mean, I go in and I'll get stuff because I have to. And if I'm out of, like, toilet paper,
yeah,
it's across the street. Yeah. But, like, I can't even, like, oh my God, it's so funny. I once saw someone returning fish to one of these stores and all I could think was, serves you right for buying fish here.
Yeah. No, seriously. Like, you mean like at a Vons or something?
Oh.
Or Ralph's. Yeah.
It was disgusting.
It was Pavilions. And it's a gross Pavilions near where I live. I talk about sometimes like on the podcast how disgusting this like.
Amelia's feeling for your disgusting.
I don't love Pavilions. Yeah,
I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah, and that's the thing too is it's like when you go in those stores where it's like the worst lighting, the lines are forever. I don't love calling people out, but I will call Ralph's out for having like the slowest service ever, and like it seems like something breaks or like somebody like needs a price check and it's like a tomato that's like in the far corner of the grocery store and you're like,
yeah, you better off.
Then there's
leaving.
Like a line of 20 people and you're just like, ah, but then you don't want to go somewhere else because it's like, well, that might take just as long by the time you find parking. So then you're kind of like stuck in line and everyone's getting upset. Yeah, it's like just avoid because not only is it just not like a fun experience, like the quality of the food isn't that great and then you leave angry. And yeah. And that raises your cortisol level. And we all know that we don't want to raise our stress hormone.
No, it's like the worst. It's like I always say to my mom, can someone just open up like a good gourmet store in LA? Like anyone. Because like I like Whole Foods, but it's too big. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like it. It's not really too big. It's just like I like a smaller store.
Yeah. I know you said you don't like Erewhon, but I do like the fact that they have the best salad bar and the best hot food bar in LA, in my opinion, as far as that goes. And it's very, like, community-oriented. Like, people – I go to the one in Venice. So it's, people are really, like, artistic or creative, and you'll hear people, like, brainstorming or running into each other. It's kind of like a nice vibe, you know? And so I think I like being there for that, but not – to do my whole grocery shopping trip. Otherwise, I will have spent, like, my entire rent.
Probably. I was going to say, do you want to go into debt? Like, for a tomato. But, yeah, it's just, like, it's there's something, like, I think in America where we've, like, there's no, like, joy in going to just buy food and choose your food.
It's true.
It's always, like, such a problem. I think, though, that is why I like Trader Joe's, because I feel like
the people – I love Trader Joe's. The feel in there is, like, I like the vibe.
They hire very good people there.
They do. They're very personable. Sometimes to the point where it's like – oh, man. I'm not sure that I want to talk as long as you want to talk right now. But they are very – they're really personal. And I think that makes a difference. Like, I actually grew up in London, in England. Oh, wow. I was born there. And I moved when I was 10 years old back to the States.
Oh, that's a disappointment.
I know. My husband always says that he for sure wouldn't have been able to get me, quote unquote, if I still had a British accent. But no, I wish I had my accent still. But I, I just remember shopping there with my family, and it's like we would go to the cheese store and we would go to the bread, like we would go to the baker and there.
Like it was an actual like fun thing to do.
It was fun.
Yeah, it wasn't like a store.
Yeah, you go to get your chocolate somewhere, and each place you go to like the butcher, and it really has that like kind of old school feel. And I remember that being one of the things when we moved back to the States that my parents were just like, oh, we did not miss this, going into a grocery store and having 500 choices, like you said. And also they don't really need to, because there's not as much like – I mean, the food industry is just crazy. Like there's so much competition. There's like 50 variations of everything. And you just don't get that in other countries as much.
Well, no. Don't you feel like also like here in the U.S., like we make everything like a chore? Ugh. Like there's no like
I feel like
going back
LA.
To like Marie Kondo, like, you know, like everything should spark you joy. Like, don't you feel like we just make everything a chore? Like it's we make a big thing of it. And we don't like how you just said with your family, like enjoyed going to get bread, going to do this, going to do that. Like that must be really,
even the baby is like, it's a nightmare.
Exactly. Like that must be so nice that you get to do that and hear and be like, we don't do that.
Yeah, we don't. It's we do if we make the time for it and we decide that that's something that we want to, like that's, you know, I love going to the farmer's market, and that is a way that you can have that experience where you go and you bring your little basket or your bags and you really take time to find the right vegetable with the right price. And like you have your strawberry guy that you like to go to. Like I love the Mar Vista farmer's market. And I have like my nut butter guy that makes like the best pecan nut butter. And I like wait. And,
pecan nut butter.
And it's exciting because when it runs low, like I know that I can only get it there and I have to wait until Sunday.
Right.
And I can like take my knife.
So it excites you.
I can like go get my knife sharp.
The larger one is good too. Largemont Village.
Yeah, you said that.
Is really good.
Okay.
No, but you know what I have this big issue with too? It's like actually it's fish. I want to eat more fish. I don't like Whole Foods fish. Always makes me sick.
Really?
It's basically because I mostly eat salmon. I know you should be more adventurous with fish, but guess what? I'm not.
Do you get it off Milk and Eggs? Because they have good
fish. Or my husband will go get it from the farmer's market, like by the Grove. But like,
I didn't even know.
Like, this is how. So there was a fish store like a block away from where I grew up in New York. I didn't even know people bought fish at the supermarket till like I graduated from college. Like, I didn't know that was like a thing.
Really? Yeah.
I mean, it sounds so ignorant and it's so sheltered.
No,
but like,
but if that's the way you grew up, then why would you know?
I had no idea that like supermarkets even sold fish, because like, we never bought it there. Mm-hmm. It sounds so ridiculous, but like.
No, I mean, I feel like I kind of felt similar just how I was describing. It's like we would go to the, but like who knew that there's like this huge massive grocery store that you would go to and get everything you needed in one stop. And it is true. It's kind of like in this culture too, like wanting to do so many different things, but not being able to do everything really, really well.
Yeah, we've had this conversation several times.
So, like, the grocery store that wants to be everything, you know?
Right, they fall short. It's just because, don't you feel like that's just life? Like, you could want to wear many hats, and you can, but it's like, I've had to learn, like, I was telling Amanda when we were talking before you came, we were trying to organize and whatnot. I said to her, I'm like, listen, I've come to a place where it's like, I see I have a bunch of emails, I'm answering things that I have to answer that are urgent, but everything else hits the wayside until afterward I'm podcasting, because today I'm podcasting, and that's the hat I'm wearing, and that's my job, and that's what I have to focus on. Priority, or it will be half-assed and it will not be at completion where it should be. And it's like all of us do so much, but I've had to come to that place where trying to find my own balance where I'm like, okay, today is social media day, today is content day, and like I have to force myself to stay in that zone versus being like, I'm gonna do this, and then all of a sudden I'm like, and I got nothing done. You know, it's like, no, I agree with you relating it to food.
I've stopped answering my phone. Like there are times when it's like I just have to, like, the other day I was writing and I turned the Wi-Fi off on my computer because I didn't have to like research. I just literally had to like write and edit. And like, you know what? I have to turn this off. I'm listening to a podcast while I work, but I'm gonna just put the phone. I was working in bed because I was sick. Like I'm putting my phone like face down. I'm not looking at it. And you know what? Like, I have to do this right now or nothing is going to get done. And this is not good for my health. I'm so stressed out. I keep getting distracted. Yeah. And apparently every time you're distracted, you lose 11 minutes.
I believe that.
Something like that.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard that
before. I haven't either, but that doesn't surprise me at all.
No. I actually was just having this conversation too with my husband yesterday. We went on a walk and we were talking. We like to go on walks in our neighborhood.
That's what we do, wake up and catch up. Yeah. That's nice. It's like a nice little catch up time.
Really nice. Yeah. And so we were talking about how, you know, the morning, and this is something I always talk to my clients about too, is like it really sets the tone for your day. And the thing is, like, my husband, I mean, hopefully he won't mind me sharing this, but has been like a little bit more anxious and stressed lately. And he's like, I don't know what's going on.
His husband hasn't been.
And he's just very frustrated by it. He's like wearing a lot of different hats. He has so much going on.
Handle it the same way we do as well.
And he's like, doesn't feel that he's very organized. And, and I was like, well, let's go back to like what you were doing before that was working. And it was that he was spending like 20 to 30 minutes, even sometimes an hour without his phone in the morning, which is what I do. And he was like doing a little bit of yoga and he was like writing out his to-do list for the day and like getting in a workout and kind of just like life caught up and he traveled a bunch and like got out of that. And so I was saying, I think the thing that you don't realize is because he's like, I don't have enough time in the day. But I was like, go into the Instagram app because you can do that now and you can go to your activity. And you can set a goal of like, okay, a limit. I only want to spend an hour a day on Instagram. And
I don't even want to spend an hour a day on Instagram.
But if you track it, it's very crazy. Surprising. It's really surprising. And so I was like,
I even do it for my screen now too.
So you can do it for all your apps.
And I get like a notification at the end of each week.
It
shows me how many hours I'm on screen time, how many hours I'm in Instagram, how many hours I'm on this app, and it breaks it all down. It becomes very real, very quick, where you're like, wow, that's where I spend my day.
Exactly. Even for, I mean, there's some days where I'm just like, oh my gosh, I am so needing to throw this thing against the wall right now. But I was like, because I think what's happening is like you could have time back in your day if you just deleted the Instagram app before you go to bed. Don't. And then have your morning where you get up, you like journal, do whatever. Have that screen time free. And then maybe set a goal where it's like, or a rule for yourself where it's like, I don't install the app until noon. And then at noon, you reinstall the app and then set your goal for the day, which is maybe like an hour. And then when the hour alerts you, then uninstall the app again and like do that every single day.
Now when you, I don't know if it's like you're not technical, but like when you uninstall it, like do you just come back or do you don't have to worry about logging or doing any of that stuff?
You just have to log in. So like you have to put in your, name and password. Well, just write it down somewhere. And it's just the fact that
it
may seem like, oh, well, I could just re-download it really quick, right? But the thing is that, like, the reason it's so distracting is because it's like a reflex for us now.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah.
You're doing something, and all of a sudden you realize I just scrolled for 5-10 minutes and I don't even know why I did that.
Scroll and scroll. That was me this morning. I was like, I had fed her, put her down for a nap. I was waiting for our first guest to get here. I was waiting for Amanda to get here. And I was like, oh, I'll go downstairs. I like made myself a like tea, like ate something. And then I was like, oh, I'll do some emails. And then like before I knew it, I didn't even look at my computer. And I was on my phone.
Yeah.
Looking at Instagram. And I was just scrolling, scrolling. And Amanda texted me, like, oh, I'm pulling in. And I'm like, pulling in. Oh my God, she's pulling in. It's like, it's true.
Yeah, it takes over. It really does. Yeah. And it's like, I just think that so much of that time is because it's so mindless, and it's also so much of that time is spent comparing yourself to other people. It can also be discouraging, or
it's the worst.
Yeah.
And I've had to stop doing it because I'm just like, you know what? Everyone else is like I know a lot of these things are fake, and I know everyone has professional photos, and I know all that. And sometimes I'm just like, I'm just not good at anything. Like, I just suck.
I know.
Like, I'm like, why didn't I do things this way? I should have. And it's just like, after a while, I'm just like, you know what?
It makes you feel like, even if you're on a high and you feel like you're doing things really well, if you scroll and you find somebody who's doing something that seems way cooler than what you're doing, it can bring you down a notch. And it makes you get inside your, in your head and start to question everything. And really, it's like, if you can use these people to motivate you and inspire you, then that's awesome. But the second that you start to feel bad about yourself because of them, maybe it's time for also like a digital detox.
100%. And to follow what you were saying, like last night, I had one of those moments. I had like felt accomplished. I got so many things done. Mm-hmm. I put Amelia down for bed. And then I went to sit, and I should have gone and taken a bath, but I was like, oh, I'm tired. I'm like drawing the bath. Like, how lazy is that? Didn't have the energy, you know? And instead, I went on Instagram. I went to certain moms' profiles that I shouldn't have, and I unfollowed them last night because I realized that they're hurting me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, even though I know in my head that they're not really living that life and there's a lot more really going on, mm-hmm. because they show all these things, I'm like, God, why didn't I do that today? Or like, I should have worked on this or I should have done that. And I got super down on myself, went into like a full tailspin, got really upset. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, what is wrong with me? And I woke up this morning, I was like, Allie, you gotta stop that shit. Like, and you don't realize it sometimes that you do it and you go down this like rabbit hole.
Well, and also, and maybe in that moment, yeah, you weren't doing what they were doing, but A, they probably weren't doing it in real time anyway. They were probably in their pajamas too, like totally. Trying to get their kids ready for bed.
Right.
And then B, it's like, you are killing it at times in your life too. Like, it's obvious from, you know, I've checked out your Instagram. Thank I know you. What you do. It's like, you kill it. And so maybe in that moment, you didn't feel like you
and
were.
And you're
your
own person to me always. Like, always. You always, like you said, and that's a voice in your head that you don't realize that you are in your head. And I'm realizing more and more for me that social media, like how you just said with the digital detox, I heavily relate to that because now I am more of an influencer in the space and I never was. A quote unquote, I hate using that word, but use that influencer.
Yeah.
Because now being in the mom world, there's so much of that people want and it's great and it's amazing and I'm very thankful for that and I love it. But there's times where I realize like, this is a dark space for me. And like when I'm done with my work on there, I can't sit there and scroll and I can't sit there and just keep taking everything in because I'm consuming it and it's becoming toxic.
Yeah. I think something that can be helpful too is to like post when you're inspired. Like I only post when I'm feeling motivated and inspired to post instead of forcing myself to post because I haven't and I need to. And then once I've posted, maybe spending, you know, 10 or 15 minutes in the app responding to comments or whatever, if there's messages, but then leaving right after that and not continuing to scroll and just, yeah, maybe you don't grow your following as quickly, but if you're putting out good content that resonates with people.
Eventually it'll
happen.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And in the right timing.
Yeah. You don't need to spend hours and hours and hours commenting, liking, following, because that's just going to drive you insane.
No, it is.
I can't do it.
No, it does drive me insane. I'm in many engagement groups and I've had to, again, same thing, like limit myself, like look at the clock and go, by this time, I'm going to stop liking and commenting. Even if my engagement isn't where I need to be today, it is what it is. I can't do it. And I have to tell myself that. And I look at the clock and I set that time. And I really stick to it because I've realized that before when I didn't, same back to what you were saying, you just keep going and going and going. Next thing you know, you've lost a few hours of your day. That's why when you said about 11 minutes and being distracted, that doesn't surprise me at all because it makes sense. Like you do come out of like whatever you were working on and all of a sudden you're like, wait, what was I doing? And then you're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate what you said about like the morning and like you should get a partner to your husband because you're trying to help him go back to like what was working, what was the routine, what was this, what was that. And I'm trying to do something for myself now. It's like now I'm trying to listen to meditation music at night and in the morning. Like those are my two things that like help me. So even if I don't get to work out or do stretching or something because it is crazy, I don't get down on myself and I've at least like given myself that center when I'm going to bed and when I'm waking up. And then I see like what happens during the day and I try to do some of it, but it's not always physically able for me because I'm so crazy.
Yeah. And I think that would be like the other thing with new moms and with anybody really, if you give yourself that time that's non-negotiable, every day, that something that brings you joy, that makes you happy, that motivates you, that inspires you, like when you do have to be there for your child, you're going to be much more present because you're happy because you're more filled up. You're like, okay, like I give myself some time. I feel more energized. I feel good. I took that time for me. You don't start to resent your child, which I mean, I know no mother would want to say that they resent their child.
No, but resent's a hard word, but you definitely do. Like
it's hard for people to balance things.
Just straight up fall down in my bathroom, like hysterical because I'm like, I love you so damn much, but I'm losing my shit.
Exactly.
Because I'm losing myself and I'm losing who I am. And and like you said, it's like you have to be aware of that and be like, okay, what can I do to get myself back to where I was so that I am in that moment so I can be the best version of myself for them? And I had to realize that too because I went through heavy postpartum depression. And I didn't even realize I was going through it until I was in it. And my husband like really stepped up and helped me. But he said to me, he's like, I get that you need to go get your lashes done. I get that you need to like go do your nails. Leave me with her. Like, it's okay. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel like, you know, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Like, just leave me with her. And I'm like, okay, I guess I can. And at first, it was really hard for me.
Yeah.
But then I was like, no, it's okay. And then it started being like, okay, no, I can go to events without her. I can go do this. But you do. It's like this whole new world in the mom world where you don't realize, like, you're just all over the place. And you're like, you said back, going back to the back burner. Like, you put yourself on the back burner and you don't realize. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, well, no wonder I'm so empty because I'm pouring from empty
cup. Well, and, and I guess, like, it's not that you, like, ever resent your child. It's just that you, in those moments when you're so exhausted, you're just like, I'm not being a good enough mom. And you start to reflect on you and you feel bad and then you're so overwhelmed and you can't do what you need to do to be there fully for the child and or for you. And just that sort of like cycle, I think, is just,
it's the worst. And I feel like so many people are stuck in it. And I do that with like Facebook because I actually get a lot of work through Facebook. Like people are surprised when I say that.
No,
Facebook is
you
my LinkedIn.
She gets
like,
a lot of work.
I get everything through Facebook. I know how to use it. I'm in a lot of private Facebook groups that are for writers.
Just a little bit of a Facebook guru.
And
that's cool.
I have
some really good success from them.
Yeah, like what do I have on the notifications? Mm-hmm. This is what happens when you have a cold. You can't think of a word like notifications. For certain groups where I know I can get work from and if I need work and, you know, if things are not – because like a lot of things have been coming to me lately, but they don't always come to me and I have to sometimes look and, you know, keep sort of also like just to keep in my work, like what is going on outside of like Amanda Land in the rest of the writing world. So it's sort of like, you know, like – for a lot of freelance writers, like our version of a water cooler. And it's hard because sometimes I'm like, I'll go on and I'll see someone got like a book deal and I'll just be like, I suck.
Yeah.
It's hard. And you compare on social media.
What does that do for you? Like, do you feel like it paralyzes you from putting out something that you would be proud of or –
it just makes me feel like no matter what I do, it's never going to be enough. That like, and the joke is like, I do want a book deal, but there are things that I want more than a book deal. But it's hard, you know? I mean, like I have so many ideas and it's like, why is this happening to them and not to me? And then there are times that I'm like, but sometimes I'm the person that things are happening to and people are probably looking.
I think it's hard, that like though. You have to stop trying to think that everybody has it figured out because we're all just figuring it out as we go.
Oh yeah.
100%.
Like we are all just trying to figure it out. And when you look at somebody's highlight reel, or for lack of better words, I feel like that's what everyone says, but it truly
is.
Like,
absolutely. It's a glimpse of what's really going on. And it's giving you, like, as everybody, which I hate people saying, but like living my best life, it gives you that quick glimpse of how they are living their best life because they curate it to look that way. Because obviously, Instagram is all about aesthetics and everything. So it's like people make it look beautiful and make it look this. And it's like, yes, some of that really is going on. But like you said, it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah. And now it's kind of, you know, and I think there are movements and people are trying to be more real and share Absolutely. Their, you know, their stories. And, but then we're getting into like some of this oversharing a little bit too. Course, yeah. And so it's like it's this fine, weird, yeah. yeah, it's a fine line, but, because then it's like, oh, am I not sharing enough? How do I be more real? How do I, and so it then kind of goes into comparisons again. So I think that there's a lot of good that you get from social media. I've connected with some of the most incredible women.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you get a lot of like clients through social media?
Not a lot of clients through social media. I get a lot of just women connecting with me, reaching That's out, nice. Saying that they've, you know, maybe tried my sugar cleanse, or they heard me on a podcast, or like, thank you so much for the information. I share my story a lot, and I get a lot of women that say that they resonate with my story.
I know, which we have to.
We don't have a ton of time, but yeah. I actually do, because it was something I wanted to go over, which is that you were talking about how you have orthorexia, or you were orthorexic. Jesus Christ. Orthorexic.
Yeah, we'll tell. Like,
and
tell
yeah,
us a little
I'd
bit
love
about
to bring
story.
A little bit of light into this, because I think it's important and it's not discussed enough.
Yeah. So I always say that I was orthorexic, meaning for those that don't know, it's like an obsession with eating perfectly, eating the perfect way, whatever that means to you, because that definition is different for everybody. Oh, yeah. But for me, I yo-yo dieted for almost 12 years, and it came from, long story short, it came from putting on a lot of weight very quickly after high school. I quit. I was on the swim team. I played volleyball. I was very active. I could eat whatever I wanted. And as soon as all of that stopped, I literally ballooned up overnight. Wow. And it was really hard for me. And I was going into college, and I wanted to look good. I wanted to meet guys. I wanted to, you know, not be hazed, because I was afraid that people would pick on me. And so I learned how to restrict my food and my calories, which I had never had to do before. And so I became obsessed with it, and I became obsessed with the control. And that's how I got into the all or nothing mentality. But I think as an all or nothing person, if you've dieted, then you probably at some point have experienced orthorexia. So an example would be, I did a diet where you have to – it's very, very low. It was almost like a ketogenic diet, very low carb, but it made you terrified of eating high sugar vegetables. So it was like, you can't even eat onions or carrots. And so I remember just being afraid of onions and carrots, which are very healthy foods, FYI.
Right. Yeah.
And being out to dinner and like just panicking inside if I would ask for a side of roasted vegetables, and it would come out with those on it. And I'd be like picking out like the onions. And like, even if I would taste like a little piece of an onion in my mouth, I would like spit it into a napkin, because I wanted to be perfect. And it was that mental.
Wow.
And I just,
that's a lot of work.
It was a lot of work. And I was tracking all my calories on the MyFitnessPal app, which I don't suggest. It made me obsessed. If I went to a restaurant and the food wasn't, you know, it didn't have the restaurant I was going to with the meal I was eating, I would put in every ingredient separately.
Oh my God. That would make me insane.
And it did make me insane. I became really wound up. I had always been super chill, but I became really wound up.
Wow.
And just very
And I can't imagine
tight.
You away, because you have such a good energy about you.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're so
yeah.
like calm, and you can tell your center, like you have a really good aura about you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. And I wasn't that way. I was very, you know, I went through bouts of being really shy, and then bouts of being very outgoing. But and during the time that I was going through these like drastic weight swings, you know, I'd be up and down 40 to 50 pounds.
That's a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
that's like real.
I'm like 50 pounds less than I was at my highest point now. And I'm eating a lot more food.
Wow.
And not working out as much.
Wow. Good for you.
But it was just because I was screwing with my metabolism, because
right.
I would binge and restrict and binge and restrict. And that's where
you're almost like psyching your body out, basically.
Yeah. And I wouldn't necessarily say binge in the sense that I go home and like eat all this candy and
right.
then restrict the next day. It was more that I would eat perfectly, quote unquote, all week long. And then I would always have like a cheat day. And that was the day where I could just go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then starting again on Monday, I would like totally restrict my calories. And that was just my life. And so whether it was like a very specific diet, eating yes and no foods, or it was like counting my calories and eating whatever I wanted as long as it was within a certain range, it was orthorexic because I had to be perfect. Wow. When I was tracking calories, it was like if I was trying to hit 1,200 calories and I got to 1,250, I would just be beating myself up.
It's so that's just like so hard to live that way.
It's really hard to live that way. And I know you said that you had struggles.
Yeah. I had it, I would say, like, high school and college. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, like, obsession with calories. It was that, like, I had grown up eating so healthy. And, like, there was nothing. Like, I went to an all-girls school. I had a stressful senior year. And I was in a car accident on Thanksgiving.
Oh, my goodness.
I was in an SUV that flipped. So I had, like, a minor head injury. I had a concussion. But, like, my head was, like, really cut up for quite a few months. I had to wear hats. Like, it was bad. It was bad. I still have my college applications in on time because I'm just so anal.
Yeah.
But, like, there was never anything I would want to eat for lunch. So I just literally went years. And now I kind of know why I hate eating lunch. Mm-hmm. I just never ate lunch. I'd wait till, like, I got home. And in college, like, there was never any healthy food at, like, any of the schools I went to, especially if you're a freshman and you're living in the dorms.
It's really hard. So
if there was, like, not grilled chicken or vegetables or whatever, and, like, mind you, I'm even to this day, I won't eat from a salad bar. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just very picky about, like, what – where it's from, if it's processed, yeah, like it's really, she was one, so Hallie and I were together at a gas station trying to get a snack and she experienced it because there was like nothing really healthy.
Yeah.
And it's like, I won't eat, like I won't eat prepared sandwiches anywhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they're, like what, it's been sitting there and you're like, it says it's fresh. I'm like, I don't care. This is poison.
Yeah.
And it's, no, she but like, so funny. I just like didn't eat.
I'm like, I'm hungry.
So, so that's kind of like your version of orthorexia. My version. Because you wouldn't eat unless so it was like what you deemed perfect.
Yeah. I had grilled chicken. When I went to Bucknell, luckily the cafeteria had stir fry. But, like, I would make them make it in a way. I would have tofu, which, like, in retrospect was probably so unhealthy, the amount of tofu that I ate, vegetables. And I would make them do the sauce on the side or do, like, half a spoonful of sauce. I mean, it was, like, it was nuts. Wow. And it's, like –
that's crazy.
Yeah, like, measuring out – I mean, I remember measuring out everything, like, every bite, like, and taste. And I think it just becomes – it breeds such obsession and – it just,
you know,
it makes you feel so
crazy.
It makes you feel crazy. It makes you feel guilty all the time. Right. It makes you feel like there is no freedom, that you're always going to be in this trap. And I think that's really what, once I broke free of the restriction.
So how did you break free?
It was many, I mean, obviously many years, but essentially it was, me finding out that it didn't work. Mm-hmm. Like it,
like
it
how you were saying before, your body is kind of your science. Yeah.
Yeah. And when I decided to go to nutrition school, and I know we don't have that much time left, but when I decided to go to nutrition school, it was after I had healed myself of really debilitating migraines from stressful careers, not eating regular meals, you know, working in PR and not taking a lunch break.
Yeah.
I developed these debilitating migraines on top of not really understanding how to fuel my body. And I realized it all stemmed from the gut and stress. So I really had to change my diet. I had to, remove a lot of foods that can be migraine triggers. I had to learn to treat myself to massages and not see it as being selfish, but seeing it as being a necessary.
Right.
And
that's like the best treat.
Yeah, it's incredible. And so now, you know, I through that process and healing my migraines, I was just blown away by the fact that I could be in and out of doctor's offices, prescribe me all these prescription drugs that did nothing for me other than mask the symptoms.
Yep.
But then I could cure myself through food and lifestyle.
Yeah.
So I signed up for nutrition school and wanted to help other people. And through that process, I started to learn that it's so important to check in with yourself and to get really real with, like, understanding your cravings. Like, instead of being like, oh, I'm craving salt and sugar, like, I'm just a failure, I'm just going to eat this thing, feel like crap and start over. It's like, okay, well, why is that happening? Did you not leave yourself enough time? You know, maybe you put your kids in front of yourself today, or you put your husband because you needed to make him dinner, or you didn't leave yourself enough time in the morning to cook.
Right.
So maybe you're just really stressed, and it's about creating a really nice morning ritual that you look forward to set yourself up. So it's like learning really what works for you, not only the foods that fuel you and make you feel really good, but habits that are really simple, like I was saying earlier, that you can commit to, so that when you have a choice, not a cheat, but like you choose something that you really want to have, you can enjoy it and know that you just move on from it. It's not a mess up. It's just continuing. And so I really learned what that was. And then I think it's like for the first time I started to have energy that lasted me through the day without having to rely on a bunch of coffee. And I was maintaining my weight without having to do hour and a half long HIIT training workouts every other day and restrict my calories, you know? And so it was just
it's exhausting. I mean, even like, and I don't think I've ever said this. So senior year, I got a car, George Foreman grill. I literally just cooked all of my food. Because I just, like, don't trust, like, mass-produced. And, like, to this day, I don't like mass-produced food. I rarely eat fast food. Like, I've never had Taco Bell. I know people love it.
I've had so much Taco Bell. So much
terrified of it.
It's not anymore. So I haven't had Taco Bell for, like, 3 years.
A long time, but I used to eat a lot of Taco Bell.
I will eat In-N-Out sometimes. But I feel like that's also fresh. And I feel like that's not – but, like, I could never go to, like, a – like, that would be, like – I'd have the worst anxiety attack if someone made me. And there's nothing wrong with Taco Bell. It's just me.
Well, the thing is –
it's my problem.
Yeah, I would never, at this point in my life, eat Taco Bell either because knowing what I know now, like I said, knowledge is power.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it. And it also, I don't enjoy it. I feel horribly sick afterwards.
Yeah, you always feel – everyone I know feels – I always feel sick afterwards.
It's just not – and there's so many delicious –
and I love french fries.
I mean, and you can make – I haven't bought it yet, but I need to invest in the air fryer.
Air fryer. Justin, my husband, just literally showed it to me. And he's like, I really, really, really want to get this. And I'm like, okay, if you really want to get it, go ahead.
Yeah, and actually that could be something really good for you. My sister and her fiance just got one, and my sister does not like to spend any time cooking.
When you were giving, like, the cooking stuff, I didn't want to interrupt you because you were, like, on a roll and everything was, like, so perfect. I was so eager to listen and be like, oh, I need to go do
what
that.
What exactly
but
does it do?
But there's me that I'm like, I barely cook. I get anxiety in the kitchen.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, Amanda's watching because she's experienced me, and she's, like, helped me and watched me have anxiety. Like, it's just –
it's like me in the gas station is her in the kitchen.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know why. I've always been that person, and like I try to break of it. My dad's like FaceTime me to help me with like certain meals if I'm gonna surprise Justin and make something, and like as long as we're on FaceTime, like I'm good and I can like keep it moving, or I have like a serious like 1, 2, 3 recipe.
Right.
But once that goes away, all hell breaks loose for Allie. Like I just can't. Okay. I'm like, never mind.
So that you're like the perfect experiment for all of the simple stuff. Uh-huh. And the air fryer. So I don't know exactly how it works because, like I said, I don't have one. But I do know that you can – so you're not using, like, all the oil. You're not traditionally frying it. But it makes – like, you could make, like, sweet potato fries. You could make – like, my sister and her fiancé have made – she's like, you would never think you would crave green beans. But it makes, like, the perfectly almost, like, crispy green beans.
Okay.
And then it cooks a steak, like, restaurant quality in, like, 5 minutes. Chicken. They made, like, coconut-crusted chicken in 10 minutes.
Oh, I might have to get it. I gotta look into this
and
now.
And if she's saying, they are obsessed. They're like the walking billboard for it, and I'm gonna buy it because it just makes it.
Yeah.
They just said it makes life so much easier.
Okay.
My sister will help in the kitchen because she enjoys doing it.
Oh.
Everything tastes so good that it's.
Oh, Justin would be.
And
like,
it sounds like it's easy to clean up because I hate
to clean.
Yeah.
Super simple.
Yeah. And Justin would be like on his hands and knees if I like love to do something in the kitchen. He'd be like, oh my God, what did you do to my wife? Like, you know, like.
Yeah. And it's way easier even than like the Instant Pot. The Instant Pot is cool, but it also is a lot of steps.
Yes, it is. And it's like I've had like, you know, what's it called? Crock Pot. And like I love that. But again, I
did you
like
not watch This Is Us?
I knew you were going to say that. I'm obsessed with This Is Us. It's such a good show.
I'm like terrified. I won't even leave my coffee maker.
I don't know. I watch it and I know how long it can be on. And I grew up with a Crock Pot. My dad always used a Crock Pot. So like I guess that's just like, you know, because I'm brought up around it. And I can do that. And I can like, you know, put a couple things in there and then know like, hey, it's cooking and it's good to go.
Yeah.
But like, that's about it. Like I made the other night milk and eggs. I had pork chops from them. And Justin's like watching Amelia. She's like chasing around. He just gotten home. I like was trying to feed the animals. And I'm like, babe, I took out the pork chops. So they were like not because they freeze all our meat. Because of our schedules. And so I was like, I took it out. So it's like been thawing all day. So we'll be good. But like, can you make it later? And he's like, well, you can make it. And I was like, no. And he's like, Allie, he's like, all you have to do is literally just season it. Here's like the seasons. Just turn, you know, our little grill pan on. And I did it. Barely. But I did it. And somehow it came out okay.
That's awesome.
He was praising me like, no tomorrow. But like, I was like, oh my God, this, oh my God. Like, that's just how I am, and I've always been that way, and I wish I wasn't.
But no, but that's the thing, is that, and this is something that I hone in with every client, like not trying to wish that you were a different way.
Right.
Or like that you're stupid or incapable because you can't do something.
Right.
It's like you have to find the fit that works for you. And yeah, if it means right. being really simple, like another tip of mine is you could chop every vegetable yourself. And yeah, like technically that's easy.
Right.
But if you're trying to get into consistency, go to Trader Joe's, get the already
pre-cut,
right. all the veggies that are
right.
pre-cut.
Right.
The cauliflower rice that's already rice. Like make it as freaking simple as possible. Get
right.
the sauces that are already pre-made.
Right.
You know, don't be trying to all of a sudden go from 0 to 60.
And that's my problem. I do. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to like really simplify life and
right.
just, I feel bad about it.
Right.
It's, I mean, that's what I do. Everything's super simple in my home. And everyone thinks that I love to cook, but I don't. It's just because I have these, like, rotating go-tos that are really easy.
I think you do. You have to make things work with your lifestyle or you're never going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, you're right. And that's really a point. And I'm learning that with meditation and everything else that I'm doing. So now I need to take what you're saying and put that into, like, nutrition and eating.
Yeah.
And I have to check out the air fryer.
Yeah. And instead of saying, you know, oh, everybody says that in order to be a calm, centered person, you have to do 10 minutes of meditation every day. And then you're stressed about
yes.
having
oh
to
my
meditate.
God.
Yes.
And it's like one more thing that you feel like you're failing at. And then that leads you to, so it's like, if that is making you feel that way, what's a way that you can deep breathe or, you know, fit that into your life in maybe a non-traditional sense? I think all of us need to breathe more. So if you can, like for me, I just got a tattoo on my wrist that says
uh-huh.
inhale, exhale. And
cute.
It's like a nice,
oh, that's so pretty.
It's really pretty.
It's just a cool reminder for me. And it has been, I just got it. And there's times in the day where I realize I haven't, like I'm holding my breath.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Get my tattoo. And it's like, cool. So little,
yeah.
I'm not saying go get a tattoo,
no, I feel
but little
you. Whatever
ways
works
to
for you.
Remind yourself to
yeah.
just breathe.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't necessarily have to start with a 10-minute app cross-legged. It could be sticking a breathe sticker on your kitchen
right.
Fridge. Or
yeah.
it could be, you know, taking 5 deep breaths in before you start a meal. It could be like signing up for an unplugged class because somebody's keeping you accountable.
No, yes. I know. I did there. I was a brand ambassador for them for a
yes,
month. And I'm very good. I like going to places to meditate. I'm terrible about doing it on my own. I've done challenges. I've written articles. Like, you have no idea the extent I've written about meditation.
Oh,
for
my
someone
gosh. So you're like an expert.
Not really an expert, but I really try. But like, I've noticed too sometimes, like when I was the other, well, people who are listening to the podcast won't, Jess was on a podcast that I produced for a former guest, Jen Cohen, and I got really, really sick. I was sick the whole day at work, and I had to drive back, and I didn't feel, and I literally had to just stop in the car before I went. I'm like, okay, I need like maybe 5-10 seconds to sit here and take a few deep breaths because I just felt like shit. I had no
mm-hmm.
idea how I was going to drive, and it was like such a gift to be able to do that. And
yeah.
sometimes, like, in the middle of the day, I'm just like, no, you know what? I'm stopping everything I'm doing, and I'm just going to sit here. I'm not going to time it, but I'm going to take a few deep breaths. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to give myself maybe 30 seconds, and it's such a gift, and, like, things can work that way.
And you just felt more recharged after you do it.
It makes me feel so much better, and I just realized, like,
yeah.
I have to make things work for myself because I can't do – although – my goal is to like do a lot of good things for myself in the morning once I'm over this illness, which was something I was trying to start this year and just
yeah.
didn't do. But like, you don't need a new year to like start a new routine.
Absolutely
no.
not.
Uh-uh.
No.
You need
no
a new
more,
day.
No
yeah.
more new year, new you. I am
yeah.
so sick of that shit.
I said
I
the
just,
same thing in the beginning of our podcast. If you listen back in the beginning when we first started our episode 2019, I was like, as a new mom, being someone who went through postpartum depression, all the things that I personally experienced,
mm-hmm.
I had to come to like this new year, new me, new resolution bullshit does not work. It actually makes me feel anxiety, makes me feel depressed, makes me crazy. Yes,
and why
Amelia's
you
feeling.
Have to be a new you.
That's
right. So strange.
Exactly. It's like, to me, what I came up with was new intentions. Set new intentions for yourself.
Yeah.
Whatever intent is, and then don't feel bad, like how you're saying, don't feel bad on yourself if there's something like you wish you could change. It's like,
yeah.
no, accept that that's what it is, and then
yeah.
figure out what works for that. Same with the intention. Set yourself that intention, and then try to follow through and do it. But whatever you don't do, don't hold yourself so tight where it's like, oh my God, that resolution just slipped by, and how did that happen? And like, that's
yeah.
where I think we get in our own heads and get in our own way.
Absolutely.
And then we have problems.
Yeah, I think one of the best ways to do that is to create, and this is again something I do with my clients, but to create I call it like a magnetic vision of mm-hmm. where you want to be. So you're literally like propelled towards it. So you paint that picture in your mind of like what you want to accomplish, where you want to be, what it would feel like, what it would look like, what would you be doing? And you paint this image and you want it so badly that you're like, how do I get there? And then you create these intentions with action steps. So, you know, and a powerful why. So instead of just being like, oh, I want to lose 10 pounds by X date, you reframe the verbiage so it's positive, because anything that's negative is daunting.
100%.
You have to give something up.
I say the same thing to my husband. Not to interrupt you, last night he was like, oh, our debt is making me crazy. I was like, not debt. We have a lot of balances to handle. And he laughed at me and I was like, no, I'm
no,
serious.
No, it's just to make yourself insane.
You like need to like not hold on to that and use those negative words like you said, mm-hmm. but continue.
No, and basically that, it's just like reframing everything. So it's something that you look forward to. It's like, create a morning routine that I actually look forward to waking up to in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then your why is like, so that I can, you know, start in a frame of mind that's much more calm, so that I leave myself more time to, mm-hmm. to map out my to-dos for the day, so that I create a breakfast that I'm excited about, so that at the end of the day, I'm not looking around, you know, whatever your reasons are for doing it.
Yeah.
And then the action step is like, just take one small step this week. And what is that step? Maybe all it is agreeing that for the first 15 minutes of the morning, you'll leave your phone in your bedroom and you'll go out and write your to-do list or journal for a few minutes. And that's all you do that week. And like you continuously layer on.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I do the same thing with my phone. I was telling Amanda, I put my phone on my husband's side now so that I don't reach for it first thing in the morning.
That's smart.
And like I also like when I first wake up, like I obviously have to nurse Amelia because I'm exclusively breastfeeding. So it's like I know in the morning when I first open my eyes, the first thing I do is like see her sweet face, nurse her for like 15, 20 minutes, and then take a few minutes to myself, wash my face, do what I need to do, and then look at my phone to see what texts and what are going on instead of being immediately sucked in. And I realize I've already made such a difference in my headaches, in the way I think, and the way things start in the morning. Like, I already just see it. And
then,
and I
have a great tip.
Like, what's that?
I have a great tip for everyone, which is so easy and everyone can do it. So I sleep with water by my bed all the time because I'm just a thirsty person.
Yes,
literally. And so I will like, and I'm trying, everyone wants to stay hydrated. So when I get out of bed, either in bed or before, sometime before, between my bedroom and my bathroom, sometimes it's before my pee, sometimes it's my after, I just drink like half a bottle of water and I'm like, oh, I just hydrated and did, like, I start the day off
good
doing the
you.
Most minor act of self-care.
Yeah, but water is so good.
Yeah.
It makes me feel really good.
Our bodies are water. I mean, like, our energy is water.
But it's like physical and it's emotional because I feel like I'm starting the day off doing something good for myself.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not a ton of water. I just down, like, I can't force myself to drink a whole thing
for yourself, and that's great.
And it puts me in a better state of mind.
I believe it.
And that's what I'm trying to do too. And I know you have to go in a minute, but like, you know, we all have so much negative self-talk. And I think last year, I was the queen of negative self-talk.
Yes,
and I was so hard on myself. And I'm like, it just doesn't work for me. It just doesn't propel me anywhere. It makes me feel more stressed. It makes me feel more negative.
Mm-hmm. So what's helped you to like reframe that so that you are focusing more on the positive?
Realizing it makes me so anxious and then I don't want to be anxious.
Yeah.
And that anxiety, like sometimes I make myself anxious because I don't feel productive, but it has the opposite effect. When I'm anxious, I can't be productive.
Right.
So by doing something positive or having more positive self-talk, to me, that's a form of making myself more productive and a better person.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's so simple, but we make it so complicated.
I know, don't we? Well, and I hate to, like, we know you have to go, but like, I hate to go back to social media, but I truly, and I listen, I'm an influencer. Like, I love my Instagram community. I actually have met so many amazing people. Like, I don't like hate social media, but there is a place where I feel like it does become dark. And how you were just saying how we make everything super overcomplicated, I think we do because we have so much in front of us. So therefore we consume so much and therefore we're trying to break up everything and figure everything out. And it's like, you think back to like our parents and people before us and why they look at us like we're crazy, like these entrepreneurs, and it's like amazing to be entrepreneurs, but it's like for them, they didn't have all those options. So it was very simple. It was like A, B, and C, pick one. For us, it's like pick the whole alphabet. Where are you going? A to Z, you know? And it's like you can, but like you just said, in steps, in layers.
And just make a decision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And commit to yourself. That's something I've learned for myself. Like,
yeah.
I have empowered and worked on Healthy Sort of Styling for the last 10 years, and I finally have to like look at things and still work with my clients, but I have to step back and go, okay, how do I focus on me? How do I pour into me? Because I've been pouring into everyone else for so long that I feel like I've neglected myself even before I was a mom. And now I think because I am a mom, I'm just so much more aware of it and it's really depleting me.
Yeah.
And I tell men all the time, like, I'm so thankful for this podcast. What do you have in your mouth, girlfriend?
Because we have a place to talk about this.
I have a place to talk about this.
Okay.
And I think it's your wire.
It's not so good.
You can't
be a perfect mom all the time.
Exactly. But a place to talk about this because you do. And then you get to have meet people like you who are like amazing and have these stories to share and open these conversations and talk about things that we don't get to discuss all the time because we are so wrapped in our lives and in our phones and everything that you don't have these real one-on-one conversations and interviews.
It's really good to be like honest. Yes. And that's one thing
authentic.
That in this last year, it's like I've realized that I think when I first was coaching, I was almost nervous to open up about the things that are hard for me
because
I felt like
it makes you better.
Oh, what if I'm, you know, like what if they think like, oh, she doesn't have it all figured out or she doesn't have all her shit together. But people relate to you more and they're like, oh, you're
relatable.
Human. Like you actually struggle with these things on a daily basis. Like I think Jen said this on the podcast, but when you're orthorexic, it's just, it's not like, oh, I'm not that anymore. Like I still am that.
Right.
That is a tendency of mine.
Right.
So I have to work on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to be mindful of it all the time.
Yeah.
And I have points in my life where I wake up and I look in the mirror and I don't like what I see. And I start to get really down on myself or I, you know, eat too much out at a restaurant or I have a really bad hangover and it's like, why did I do that? And I revert back to those negative thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But now I have so many of the tools and the support around me to work my way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my clients really like that motivate me every single day. And I learn from them just as much as I feel like they learn from me.
Yeah.
And so
that's
to me
powerful.
Is really cool. And I have to also be okay. You know, I love now sharing. I'm opening up a lot more even on social media about the things that I've been through because every time I do, I get people that reach out to me and are like, I didn't know that anybody else had gone through that.
Yeah.
Or like, I felt like I was alone. I
agree with that
and
completely.
If even one person
connects
you're helping
with me
someone.
In that way,
yeah.
and even if I don't work with them, I don't care.
Yeah,
like,
you're reaching them and you're sharing that.
I
feel the same way. I told Linda, I said when I went
putting positivity into the world.
I started posting on my Instagram about my postpartum depression and where I was and how I was feeling. And all these people started messaging me and they're like, oh my God, you're always so glam and like you're on this show and you're this and you're doing that. And I'm like, yeah, and that's what you see. But you don't get to hear me when I'm home with my family or in my head of what I'm going through and where I'm at. And people said the same thing. Like all of a sudden my following like started growing by double. And I in my head I was like, what am I doing? Like good, better content, better presets. And it was like, no, dumbass.
Just being
you're
myself.
Being myself and being real and being authentic. And I'm sharing every single thing that I'm going through. And I'm writing lengthy posts that are maybe, you know, too long, but it's exactly what's pouring out of me, you know? And it's like, and people are messaging me saying, oh my God, thank you so much for saying that. Or thank you for sharing that. Or, oh my God, I felt the same way, but I didn't know what to say. Or I felt like a bad mom for thinking that. And I'm like, oh, this is therapeutic for me, not just for you.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's exactly how I feel too. When somebody comes to me and it's like, I've been through this too. Like I actually shared recently a post about my migraines and like all the things that I did and how I was feeling. And so many people reached out to me and I didn't even realize how many people suffer from debilitating migraines and are so desperate to find relief and don't know what to do. And it's like your blog post like helped me so much and started implementing some of the things that I recommended and follow up and tell me that it's made a difference. And for me, like that makes everything I do so worthwhile. And I don't need them to sign up with me to be a client to feel so incredible.
No, and it's – I do think, though, it's just like putting – I feel like you can never lose putting positivity out into the world. Like
never. There can never be enough positivity.
I just don't. And I think it's important. I've also tried to be more real on Instagram lately. And people respond to it. And I'm just like, you know what? I try not to complain. I try not. And there were – like I had a really bad experience at a fitness studio.
I remember
and
this.
I was just – I'm not going to say which one it is. But I was just like, you know what? I don't deserve to be treated this way. Screw these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I had such a response. And I'm like, because I always post about like you know, my fitness routine and working out. Yeah. And I try to not like specific results, just like I'm going to do this because I feel like just going there is half the battle.
Yeah.
For also most people.
Accountability for you as well. Yeah,
and it's accountability sure. and yeah. all of that stuff. And I just think that, and people are like, oh, you've inspired me to work out. And people will ask me
That's
about
cool.
what I like to do. And I always say, and I was interviewing Gunnar Peterson like last year, and I'm like, okay, the best workout's the one you do, right? He's like, completely. And that's yeah. the thing. It's like, if you like something
right.
and that gets and you that off your, it doesn't yeah. matter if it's yeah. body, it doesn't matter if it's yoga. It doesn't matter exactly what the best one said. Is.
Meditating, it doesn't be 10 minutes. I do 3 minutes. Like, whatever works
what,
for you. I
what diet? The way you the yeah. way you eat healthy. That right. That's the one that it's going to, what which one ever makes you feel the best.
I
like,
mean,
whatever
I will
you can
literally
stick to.
Just say to somebody, does it work for you? And they're like, I mean, is it working for you? Do you enjoy it? Yeah. And I'm like, then it works for you.
Yeah.
Like, if it works for you, it works. If it works for you, it works. Like, bottom line,
yeah.
it's that simple. I know it's hard to get to that point, but I think a lot of it is because we feel like we should do all of the things that we hear. And
yeah.
I love podcasts. They're incredible. I listen to them every single day. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes that too, if you're too much information overload, where it's like you're for going sure. on and you're listening to like 15 different like nutritionists and they're all
oh
saying
God,
different
yeah.
things. And
yeah,
then
you're
one
like,
week, you're
well,
like,
what do?
I should be vegan. And yeah. then like the next week you hear a podcast, yeah. you're like, oh, well, I guess I can't have grains now.
Yeah.
And then the next week you hear someone who's paleo and you're like, oh, well, maybe I should do paleo because this person.
It's not.
Yeah.
yeah.
It is not.
And
yep.
so you just kind of drive yourself crazy. And,
definitely.
And so that's where you really have to use, I think it's so cool to get a varied stream of information, but then sit with it and
sure.
be like, okay, like what resonated with me about this?
Right.
And
why did I like it?
Why
am
did
I drawn
like
to
it? You know, when you listen to podcasts, I don't know about you, but I can't retain all that information. So
no.
I retain little nuggets.
Yeah, sure.
Like nuggets of
yeah.
gold, I would
yeah.
say,
mm-hmm.
where it's like that one line
really,
really stuck
resonated
with me.
You. Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or like
Same
that
here.
Simple little reminder
yeah.
that like you take
I'll write
you
certain
in your
things
day.
Down that
yeah.
like really like, yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
And so you're like, oh, maybe, you know, that podcast wasn't entirely for me. But I got something cool from it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're so amazing and I just love how you share and I like how authentic and honest, but also like just when she sits here, don't you think
yeah.
it's like so insightful? Like you're just drawn in. Like, and I'm not just saying
you.
That because you're here. It's just the way you speak and like the way you share and how you were telling your story and how everything ties in and what you do with your clients and everything.
I'm
so,
excited for your podcast.
As I was
going to
say,
starting.
Yeah, it was like just a little
yeah.
teaser. She's going to be starting a podcast soon. No pressure, but you're excited. You said to get it going with your sister.
Yeah. It's actually going to be called Solo 2.0.
Cute.
Mm-hmm. So
love the name.
My sister has a website that she's launching called sheonlylivesonce.com and it's going to be an empowerment guide for women.
Nice. Love that.
So she describes that as like a Pinterest for personal development, I think
ooh,
is what she said.
Ooh.
I
love it.
So it's going to be amazing. And so the 2.0 is like, we'll run the podcast through her website.
Uh-huh.
There's two of us. It's like
cute.
The next level. And then I always say that it's about stepping into the 2.0 version of yourself. And
oh,
so
I love that
version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One day I was like, it's the 2.0 version of yourself. It's just taking you to the next level.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, our goal would be to launch by summer. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll
but stay tuned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We want to have her on.
Yeah,
we want to
have her on. By the way,
my
yeah.
sister.
Yeah,
yeah.
And when you guys
yeah.
want her, so we obviously want to have you guys back
you
as a whole.
We'll love her. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, we love you. So
we love you. We
She's
love personal
friend.
Development.
Yeah.
We love your
it's
vibe.
Amazing. Thank
yeah.
you. It's been so fun.
So
yeah.
where can people
say,
find
plug
you?
Yourself. Tell
plug yourself.
And leave our listeners. We love to always leave them with like either one tip or something you've learned. Anything you want to leave our listeners with.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just kind of circles back to just stay true to yourself. And I think we hear that a lot. But really what that means is, you know, if there's anything that you take away, it's to every day, I would say before every meal, before any decision that you make, just take a moment, even if it's 30 seconds or if you have a minute, to stop and check in and ask yourself, like, is this really something that I want to be doing? Like,
yeah.
how
does
do
it serve
I,
me?
Does this serve me? How do I want to feel
I'm
afterwards?
I'm doing a lot these days.
Yeah. How do I want to feel now? How do I want to feel afterwards? And just give yourself that time because it may seem like you don't have it, but you have a minute or two in your day. So I think that's what I would say.
I love that.
And then what was the other question?
We wanted you to plug yourself.
Oh,
tell,
yeah.
tell our
and we'll have all
we
have it in the show notes as well.
Okay. So I spend a lot of time on Instagram, which we were talking about, which I do limit, but Body Bliss by Jess is my Instagram. And then
now that we're just on our phones.
Yes, please do follow me. And then bodyblissbyjess.com is my website. You can reach out to me if you have questions or just want to connect or collaborate at jess@bodyblissbyjess.com. And I'm also really good about responding to all of my DMs on Instagram.
Amazing.
I'm on Facebook too, Body Bliss by Jess S, but Facebook's not really
right.
as much my
it.
Jam.
Totally.
Yeah. So, okay. but yeah, cool. that's the best way.
And we'll put it all in the show notes, of course. But this was amazing. Thank you so much for being
Thank
here,
you
ladies.
You
and it was
so
we always
much.
Say,
be,
be fabulous and be you.
Ooh.
Bye.
Bye.
Taught them both how to Jane Fonda. 1, 2, 3, 4. Get your booty on the dance floor. Work it out. Shake it, little mama. Let me see you do the Jane Fonda 5.